Simtov Kuf Samach Sif Gimel. Again, Gozu, so we're talking about the halachas of what Chazal instituted as Zecher the Churban. So there's a very fascinating halacha over here. Again, Gozu Shalonagan B'Klishir B'Chomin Zemer B'Chomish Me'Kol Shashir the Samach B'Him. A person cannot celebrate with music or any type of playing music. Is Osir. So the Shulchan Aruch leads to the back. It's pretty across the board. I'm skipping the Ramah for a second. You got to feel for the Shulchan Aruch's approach, and we'll see the Ramah. The Ramah waters it down a lot. So the Shaman Bnei Achurman, you can't play the music. You can't listen to music because of the Churban. Even singing B'peh, if it's over like a wine party, is Asur. You can't have music over wine. But the Karnogu call you so learner, Dibre Tishbachus, or Shir Shalhoidos, Vizikun Chaste Kodesh Baruch Hu Alayai. However, in that scenario, if what you're singing is praises to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's permitted. So the Shulchan Aruch is pretty broad-based, broad-sweeping Isser. Let's go back to the first Ramah. The Isser is only a person who is overly involved in music. And he gives two examples. A person wakes up in the morning with music or goes to bed with music. A person is playing music at a place of celebration, but a person or the person's over wine or over a fancy meal, so you have music, that's a problem. But if some person wants to play some music, that's not a problem. That's the first Ramah. Second Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch said it's permitted for the purpose of praises to Hashem. V'chein l'tzarach mitzvah k'gayim beis chasam akal ha'kol shari, and for purposes of a mitzvah, everything is mut. Peg, Kli, Yayin, doesn't make a difference. As a matter of fact, there is a Rav Yoh, if I recall correctly, the Rav Yoh in Hilchas Shabbos says that not only is it permitted to have music by Chosam Akala, it's actually required. That there's a mitzvah Mesmech Chosam Akala that's required, which should be done Badafka with music. And he actually said not only the Chosam, but even the Sheva Brochas. The Sheva Brochas should have music by them. See, creates a fascinating din. Minhag in Europe was that they would get, I mentioned this to you, Minhag in Europe they would get married on Friday, so that because they would save the cost of the chasna meal would be the Friday night meal. So the Friday night meal was the chasna meal. So how can you have the chasna meal without music? But it's the Shabbos. So the goy should play music by the chasna, because the shuvus is playing music is the rabbanon. Right, Amir Lakum is a Durabonin. So it's two Durabonin. The Tzarek Mitzvah, the paying music by the Surah Chasli, that was the Mitzvah. So Shusha Shusha Tzarek Mitzvah, he would have music by the Friday night meal. Because there's a Mitzvah Dafka to have music.
Where was this?
The Rav Yoh, the Bali Tosis.
Really?
Then he brings that there's one point in time, because one of the, well, I think, if I recall correctly, it was when Richard the Lionhearted was in captivity. On the way back from the first crusade, so there was this dispute between the British king and the French king, I think it was, and so he was traveling back. He was trying to travel incognito because he was going through territory which he went through Vienna, and somebody in Vienna recognized him, and they imprisoned him. So the king Richard was imprisoned. So during that time, the queen mother made a decree that you can't have any music. Can't play any music. So that applied to England. It also applied to Normandy, which was in France. So in England, the Bali Tosis, one of the Bali Tosis wrote that it was not proper to have a chasna. In Normandy, you should travel to France proper to have a chasna, because how can you have a chasna without having music by the meal? It was not proper. There's a mitzvah to have music. So the Rav Yoh takes that psak, which is from to a few generations before him, and he says that if that's so shushushus a mokum mitzvah. Friday night you can have the goy play. You have a goyish band playing by your suda. Doesn't sound so. So nowadays, you can imagine we definitely make some waves, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
So they knew all the Jewish tunes.
Right? They know Hava Nagila. That's what else is it? No? Okay. Sivkat Nir Aleph Shlonagim Bchishir. So how did the Bchli also feel a Shloy Aliyayin Ladeyasu? So the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is Shir that Kli Shir is always Aser. That playing music. Or listening to music from instrumental music is prohibited. The second half of the Shulchan Aruch is when it comes to singing without instruments, that's only usher over wine. Abba Mesa Mishnah. The came along to the Ramallah, most of first, some people only usher if it's Rogel Behem. People do this regularly. Or Mesa Mishnah, which again, that's over wine. So then the second opinion says, wine with instrumental music is also, but which means according to him, Pasha's shir bepeh, even over wine is mutter. It's only shir bekli over wine. Fulfilling misha and a rogel was that. That's also even if you don't do it regularly. So the Rambam said a person who's rogel, for example, a king which goes to bed and gets up with the royalty would indulge himself to go to bed with music, get up with music, or in the Beis HaMishnah, which even if you're not wrong, but the Beis HaMishnah, which to have instrumental music over wine, that's awesome. Then he says that wine creates a problem, even bepeh, not only bekli, even though the case of the remote someone was a case of kli, Beis HaMishnah answers even aliyayin, and that everybody agrees to. They sit down and they have their meal, I guess with wine, and they have the serenaders outside playing music. They do it regularly, but that's definitely awesome. So there were Jews who reached the height of wealth, they could afford such things, and they would indulge themselves, and that's not Zechel L'Churban. Fulfill but shir bepeh aliyayin is aser. Ubach pasul afil b'lo yayin gam ken aser. The shir bepeh is also aser even without wine. So he's taking the din of Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said that shir bekli is always aser. Shir bepeh is aser aliyayin. The Rambam came along and said shir bekli is not aser unless you do it regularly. So he's being more makel. Shir b'kli or b'peh aliyayin is also good. Comes the Bach and says even shir b'peh is also not aliyayin. Okay, how do I know? Because there's a Gemara in Saita. The Gemara, the Gemara says that there was people who used to sing while they were working in order to create a beat to their work. For example, Zimro Shomoshke Hasrinas, the people who were the rowers, so they needed a tune which would create a beat for the rowing. Oh, Moshke Habakorim are people which were schlepping the animals, the herders. The Mor says that's Shori, and the Mor says why? Shana Melo the Zars and Bimalatum, Rashi explains because they needed for the flow of their work, they need a beat. So you see, that wasn't aliyayin. They weren't drinking wine while they were rowing. And so the Mora says only mutter, and it wasn't bekli, it was just bepeh. And so the Mora says only mutter because they needed it for the beat, for their work, which indicates we're not for that, it would be osir. And the Mora says, alba de gardoi, osir, shulis chok ba'alma. So, but the Mora then says, but the tailors who are sitting and working, and they're fine with their work, they don't need to, but they're singing while they work. The Mora says, that's osir. That's the Mora insert the memtes amanal. Now, they weren't drinking wine while they were working, so it was. You see, shir bepeh is also even without yayin. So that's the Bach's Raya. Okay, no shem hamazamer is bepeh beis malachton yesh limchus behen lahen. Women which sing while they're working, so you should not do that. V'meinim shemus. If you know they're not going to listen, mutav shiyu shogin. Then it's better not to say anything. Because it's better that they should not do the veira, not being aware they're doing something wrong, than knowing that something is wrong and doing it anyway. the Sharatian does point out that they're singing to put a lullaby for the kid to sleep. That's mutter, because that's a valid need. In Chaf Hey, he says, if they're singing in order to give a lullaby to put the child to bed, that's mutter. Then he points out that there might be an issue of Kalisha, etc. He says you should be careful that the what you do sing shouldn't be Goyisha love songs, because that creates a taboo around the child. Anyway, you're not supposed to sing love songs because it's a horror. Shimon Rav Shirchak Mizeh V'yasad Levin Hevesok. Okay. So, Achen Mebesach Roshes Hamasa Sheshom Gamken Anoshim. In the case if they're working not at home, but if they're working in a factory where there are men there also, that's even where you have a situation where, like, the women sing and the men are singing back the chorus. You understand that that's not going to be healthy for the tznius issues. The Gemara says that's megara yitzhar ben afshayu. It's your the Gemara's lesson is it's like it catches. It arouses the men like fire catches on the Na'aris. Na'aris was when you would separate the flax out of from the fibers, which are the linen fiber, the flax fibers, which are embedded in the flax. It would come out to be little material which comes out. It was very combustible. So it catches fire very quickly. That obviously is something which we should try and stop. And that's a good word. Okay. But the Shulchan Aruch did say, if it's a purpose of Tibri Tishbachis, it's praises to Hashem. So if they would take Psukim and sing it, not because they wanted to address their love to Kodesh Baruch Hu and the praise of Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it was like it was fun to sing the, it was enjoyable to sing the psukim. They had a nice tune to it, etc. So their purpose was Simchas Mereus, to enjoy themselves. So that's Osir. It's improper. Ki Oz Hatara Chageres Sak Remeres. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Torah in Shemayim goes to Kodesh Baruch Hu as it were wearing sackcloth. And the Torah says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Asuni Bonecha Kimin Zemer. The Morris Lashon is that your children, says Kodesh Baruch Hu, your children have made me the harp to play music on. So my role in life is like I donate psukim to them to make songs out of. That's what the Russian get the Torah for, to make songs out of it. They should make music out of it. Ach, Berbesa Knesset, the Regalim, Mitzvah Zamer, but during davening, which would inspire people for the davening, that's proper to sing. So he points out that what we have, the zmiras and the which are Shabbos zmiras, which are made to be sung as part of the meal, that's proper. That's what they're there for. But to sing other, they take psukim or something like that, or sing songs from the shul, sing marakayin by your Shabbos suda. Markarim wasn't made to sing the Shabbos Suda. Markarim was made to be part of the tefillah. So you're singing because you enjoy the beat and the tune, etc. So he feels that's improper. This is not the modern world of the Jewish world nowadays. We'll talk about that. We'll get to that. Zichron Chastei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Songs which are referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu's praise and bring out our Kodesh attempt to Kodesh Baruch Hu is proper. There was a custom that people, they would sing the Kaddish. So Vade Chet Gobel, that's improper. So I'm not sure exactly what they used to do with the Kaddish. But it wasn't done as a way to pray, to bring out the praises of the Kaddish Baruch. It was just like they enjoyed the singing of the Kaddish. So that's wrong. And that you get a fellow who makes the jokes about the psukim or the holy words, that's wrong. I mean, you all experienced that, you know. Certain things stick in your head, like, you know, you stuck with the rest of your life. So, you know, maybe in Purim, I don't know, maybe it's much, I don't know, you know. I know Vashti, it was made out of two women. Because, right? Mishtenoshim means a party for the women, but this is, also means two, you know. There's no such chazal, it's a joke, you know. Okay, you know. What was the name of Paro's horse? Right? You've all heard that one, right?
No.
Kiva, Sus Paro. Kiva is the name of Paro Sus. You know, like, and these stupid things stick in your head, right? So that's exactly what he's saying. You know, like, that's what the Russian gave the psukim of Kiva Sus Paro to make a joke out of it. No, that's improper. Okay, I call Shori. And then he said, for the purpose of a mitzvah, it's permitted. Perish ben bepeh ben bekli uben balayin. Whether it's bepeh or kli, whether it's over wine. Actually, hey, but nibble peh, obviously you can't just, you know, say everything's mutter, you know. Everything's mutter sounds like, wow, you know. Doesn't mean you can say something which is improperly. But even so, the Magen Rambam points out that the Gemara says, even by chasna, the same way we, by shas l'chupa, we break a glass and we put ash by the, so the Gemara says that the Gemara, beginning the fourth parak in Brochus, the Gemara says that one time, that one of the Meroyim saw that the people were celebrating by the chasna overly excited, and he felt that was wrong, so he took a very expensive piece of crystal and threw it down and broke it. And the shock, everybody said, what are you doing? He says, you have to remember the Korban. He says, you shouldn't celebrate as much as you're celebrating too much. Even during the chasna, there's a limit. So that's how it's presented on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So Rav Moshe had a tshuva about this. Just interesting thing. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it. There is a bach, as much as the bach asked even bepeh, the bach also creates some coolers, and he went with the bach to the certain coolers. So basically, it comes out of prison. It doesn't do it over the yayin. Or if he goes to the Ramah, a person doesn't do it over the yagin. A person doesn't do it regularly, getting up and going to sleep. So he's Samech L'Kula, it's a Mershah Shuba. I mean, nowadays you have like these music players, these MP3 players that you set your alarm to it, and you wake up in the morning to, you know, some Jewish music, and you go to bed listening to music. That would be improper. That would be something which is improper. And Aliyayin, obviously, is going to be... Playing it during the meals when a person is having that's something which is. And Rosh has a tshuva. They asked him, what about playing music by a. So by a chasna, the Suda Smith says mutter. What about by a stalker dinner? So is that called a Suda Smith? In other words, the goal is raising money for stalker, but is it something considered a mitzvah? So is it right to play music? You're feeling that playing music would enhance the meal, therefore people would want to, you know, appreciate, respect the organization more and give more money. So he says he's masupik about that, whether that's acceptable or not.
Why?
He's not sure that that's called tzarech. That's not the tzarech mitzvah. So much the mitzvah is to play music. It's clear that you're supposed. Your goal is to be mesameach. So part of the mesameach is through music. So there's a mitzvah to be mesameach by a chaz. There's a mitzvah mesameach by a bris milah. There's a union of simcha. So you want to play music there. So that's proper. Over here, there's no mitzvah to be mesameach. So that's it. That was his question. There is a tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein, where he says that he only sees. He says one hetter, obviously, if a person is doing it, singing or playing songs which will inspire them to be better in their Yiddishkeit. That's the hetter of the Shulchan Aruch at the end, praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means any type of music which would inspire you to do better. But then he says a different story. He says that, you know, that if a person, let's say a person who's by nature an atzvani, he's a depressed type of person, or he's a person which is inclined towards depression. For him, music is sort of like refuah. Right? That, you know, for him, he needs the music. That's what, you know, the music in the house, etc., keeps his spirits up. He says, maybe you could argue that nowadays a lot of the people are inclined towards, our generation is inclined towards Marashara. And therefore we need the music. It says as a limud schus, the reason why we still make a lot of music is a limud schus is because we have a generation. So I have to tell you, it's a very depressing thought to think about that the reason why we're allowed to have music because we're a depressed generation. Is that pretty depressing that we're so depressed that we need something?
Isn't that the same reason we don't have Saras and these other things? We're not on the level. Isn't that the same way of saying?
Yeah, it's the same. On a level means that the person walks around because he's inclined towards depression. It doesn't. It's a question of level, not level. We are a generation which, if we wouldn't have music, we walk around depressed, and that's a pretty sad
right. The
definition of our state of being. You know, whether we're tzaddikim or not tzaddikim, that's a different issue. You know, but this over here is not tzaddikim or not tzaddikim. The issue is that, you know, we are psychologically have problems. You know.
Yeah, it's like why people drink out there.
Yeah. But I think what he's saying a little bit, you know, I mean, you probably go back two or three generations. I can't say everybody was like that, but you know, life was much more challenging in many different ways. I mean, it was very hard. It was tremendously. It was poverty was greater. The workload was tremendously greater. There was less different things available to help people, etc. And the people in Europe, and they were living under tremendous pressure from the government around them. They weren't playing music, like, you know. They didn't have this generation, so maybe the challenges caused them to rise to the reality of, you know, you have to either you're going to sink or swim. So you learn how to swim. Whereas our generation, we become soft, and so that itself allows us to become more inclined to difficulties overwhelm us. So that was his suggestion. He says that as a limud schus on the generation.
Who said this?
Rabbi Menashe Klein from Ungvar Rav. So that seems to be the basic approaches towards the heter towards music. Dalar b'chein gozrol atoris. I mean, I didn't look at the most of Dirsh. I'm sure they have probably has more about it also. B'chein gozrol atoris chasanim. There goes around the crowns. They used to make crowns for the chasanim. Shalonia klal, they shouldn't wear crowns anymore after the korban abayis. And shalonia chachosim barosha shum klio. So they didn't make the Torah, which was some type of a Torah. And klio means any type of head dress. Shenemar hasira means nefes or imoat Torah. The situation of Korban, we have to remove the mitznefes, which is the head covering, and the Torah, which is the crown. Now, the Torah's kalas, because we want the kalas to look beautiful, we were a little more lenient. And goes atros hakalas in hishal kesef. Making one out of silver, that's not proper for the kala. However, albo shal gadil mutar the kala, but to make one out of thread, and to weave something nice, something pretty for the kala to wear as a headdress, that would be permitted. Now, this is dafka the chosim kala. Avashar kol anoshim menoshim legosur. So, because at the time of the chasna, this would you know, significantly increases and enhances the simcha. That's improper. A person still wants to walk around the middle of the week wearing a crown. Okay, whatever. It's not, you know, that's your problem. You know. That it doesn't generate simcha, that they sort of need to answer it. Mishabura Yud Zayin, Emishal Kesef, Huadin Emishal Margolius, Avonim Tobis, the same prohibition applies to not just silver, but it would be pearls or jewels. Yeshemagam, Leshem of the Kolshkind also, that we could argue that these things are definitely awesome. Vemes Anikris Kala, when we refer to the Kala, what are we referring to? Because remember, we said when they're not a kal, it's mutter. So who is the kal, which is aser? The whole 7 days of the celebration, from the chasen onwards. Gam laila shalifnei akupa, and the night before also. And you came oisin amenichim b'roish kal and b'tachshitin b'roish shakaran and binda v'chadayim and tzarchiyin. There were people which are putting this type of a adornment over the kal. Which is he would see that he's not he finds that difficult. He needs to figure out why that should be permitted. We want the cow to look beautiful. Shouldn't be looking that she's not dressed well. Rabbi says the Mistabek l'Das Rambam, The Beis Yosef raised a question according to this halacha over here, which is from the Rambam's quote based on the Gemara. So he wants to know, Im hoya ikara shal gadil, ukfuyim mishpatsar shal zov, kesem zov im mishari. If the primarily was made out of cloth, and you made some settings to put gold and silver in it, maybe that's permitted. Or maybe the only issue is if it's basically made out of precious metal, but if it's made out basically out of the foundation is not precious metal, you want to set some stones in it, etc., maybe that's mutter. People nowadays are lenient in this issue. So what's the pshat? Mr. Kachal Yerabah, the same one, Al-Dasa Ramban, the same one, the Ikor, Shagdil, Shori, Avshesh, Bekesev, Ezov. So people were lenient on ones which there was Gdil as a foundation, even though there was gold and silver being then woven into it. That's what the... Vais in Hinuma, Yecheta Sekala, Kroin shall kesev azov. They make a crown of kesev azov. Av shichruch a kesev al meshi. Yesh lesser b'tzarachin. So the Prima Gadim says, and we're telling you that really the Mikra Minig is the Miksemech on that if the foundation is cloth, it's permitted. So I take, we put a headdress over here of silk, and then you put the crown on top of that. That's not, that he sees, that's a different story. Other people are mutter, because this is the only problem at the time of Simcha, and this is, you know, all the people are not celebrating. Sif hey. Asher l'adam and shimala piv skaik b'elam hazeh. More tzimar brachas. And the Mor says that, it says, Oz yimala skaik pino, Oz meaning then, when Mashiach comes, our mouth will be full of skaik. Until then, not. Chav, Oz yimala skaik piv skaik, shesimcha yisera mishakeach hamitzvus. The over simcha undermines the person's focus on mitzvahs. My mitzvahs are preached. I feel a simple shal mitzvah. Kigayin b'chas apurim lo yimal lepiv schaik. The Morish Drasha was even a situation of simple. That a person has a limit how far he should go.
So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be changing the focus here. So it's not because the churban, it's because you just can forget the concentration.
Right. It's interesting because the Gemara, when it presents this pasuk, or this din, the Gemara does not present it in the context of Korban and Bais. The Gemara presents it just in the context of that it's going to redirect your focus. So, like Rishon Brura says, the Gemara does not present it in any context of Korban before or afterwards. The Gemara says this in also the Mali Piv Schaik Belem Hazeh. So you're correct about that. Shimon Tovkuf Samachal. Din a roya ori Yehuda Yishalayim Vikdash Bechorbana. Aleph, a roya ori Yehuda Bechorbana. Person sees the cities of the different cities of ori Yehuda, which was the primary part of Eretz Yisrael, and he sees them that they're no longer an area which he knows was standing, and now it's no longer standing. Omer, he says, Orei Kodshecha Hayumid Bor. It's a pasuk. So he quotes that pasuk, Mekorei, and he tears a kriya for the mourning of the fact that the cities of Yehuda have now become uninhabited and desolate. The chiyuv of kriya by the Ari Yehuda starts when you approach them, you come close by, just like we talked about by Yerushalayim. You only have the Kareya for the walls of Yerushalayim from Tzofen, which is Mount Scopus, and that distance around Yerushalayim, around the city, and inwards. I mean, even though you might see it beforehand, but that doesn't make a difference. It's not close enough that he can feel be able to see it well and focus on the pain. But he gets very close. He says he sees it and he feels the pain and he's correct.
So it's not the question of proximity exclusively. You have to see it. When you come to Yerushalayim from the west, you're going uphill, you don't see it.
He's saying even the Rambam was saying even if you would see it beforehand, you're not chai. There's a dinam minitzayim lifnim, and that applies in all directions.
Right.
So even though you can see it in all the directions beforehand.
So no emphasis on that.
So, right. The point is, if it's too far away, it doesn't arouse the same type of pain. Alavor Yehuda blur Yisrael. However, the cities in the north, which were not part of the section of Israel called Yehuda, they're called the Ori Yisrael, which are further north. There's no din of Kriya. The Chashivi Kolkach. Those are no din of Kriya because they're not so significant. So we're not mistaken in Kriya. You see them in the state of being destroyed. So it's called Bechabonon when the Jews do not have the authority over that area. So let's say Chevron. So Chevron right now is under the authority of the non-Jews, or you know, a good part of it, maybe all of it, depending who you ask. Right, so that's called Bechabona, even though there's Jews which are settled there. So there is a question, what's the minhag regards to seeing Hebron? What's the halacha? The minhag is not to be kareya by Hebron. Part of the reason is because we're not sure exactly where was the city of Hebron. In the time of when Kleisel was standing, was living there, and was Yeshuva, and what part was considered exactly Chevron. So based on that, the minhag became that we live in our Korea and Chevron. Really, theoretically, it would be, otherwise, theoretically, you should be Korea and Chevron.
Yeah,
Mars
Machpelah.
That's what I said. I think that we get the step to Mars
Machpelah. Chevron, where else would you be? If you're right near Mars Machpelah, you're in Chevron. Where else would you be?
Right, but it's like exactly where was the Mokum Yishuv that they had? Where
but it's Chevron. I mean, you're talking about the city of Chevron. The Torah says many times that the Mars Machpelah. Well, if we have no doubt that's the Mars Machpelah, then that's Chevron.
That's true, but the Mars Machpelah, we don't know where the Mars Machpelah was inside of Chevron, it was near Chevron. We don't know exactly where it was vis-a-vis the city of Chevron.
Really?
Right.
Torah doesn't make it sound like that. That it's...
It was a soda. It was a soda next to the city.
No.
So it was a soda next to the city. So it wasn't.
Weird.
No. Okay. If this is the soda next to the city, it means the city was here.
Yeah.
Where's the here? Was the city north of it, south of it, east of it, west of it? I mean, now they have archaeological digs, which was a question that you know that they've. We go to Tel Hebron now. There's archaeological. They found. They found remains from houses from 4,000 years ago. Was that the city where that? You know, that good chance that's where Avraham Avinu was living and walking. Was that where the Jews lived when they lived there? We don't know. It's pretty amazing to see remains from something which is 4,000 years old.
And that's all over.
4,000 is pushing it a little bit.
Maybe 4,000.
Yeah, 4,000 is pushing it.
2,000 is not so young either.
No. Okay.
But they lived in tents then.
What?
But they lived in tents then. Avraham Avinu lives in a tent, no?
I don't know. My knowledge over there to question their dating system, whether the dating system was correct or not, that they came up with the year 4,000 years ago, was on target, not on target. I have no idea. They don't say it about anywhere in America, that's for sure. Beis. Haro Yerushalayim v'chabona. So that's... we had still Mishnah Berurah. Gimel. K'shem yis samach lehen. So when you approach the Ori Yehuda and you get close by, that's when you tear. Rochak Yerushalayim v'chashiva riyah k'mer lehalon. If it's too far away, it doesn't have a status of seeing it, like the Shulchan Aruch will point out soon. Now, if he mashab Arnold come on, the come and post complete yells there, but some of the ain't shield dover, the Malcolm Sharia Chaim Likraya, who had the minion. However, this that's the seat of a Shulchan Aruch, that the issue isn't Ria versus non Ria, the issue is proximity. So then this halacha makes sense. If you disagree with that and you say that the issue always is whether it's divisible, and that's all that's important. So we're also, once it's visible, you would be Kareya. Beis, Haroi Yerushalayim B'Kabono, Arma Tzion Ha'yisa Midbar Shemama, B'Kareya. So you say the phrase, Tzion as it was a Midbar Shemama. Now, some of you might have a gears on the bottom. It says, Tzion Midbar Ha'yisa Yerushalayim Shemama. That's the full, that's the actual correct pasuk. Again, so it's Tzion Midbar Ha'yisa Yerushalayim Shemama. So you say the phrase that the holy bias of the Beis HaMikdash, which was our glory, where our forefathers praised you there, has been burnt, and everything which is important to us has been destroyed. Mikareya. And from what vantage point does a person have a chiyuv of kriya? Minatzayfer from Scopus. So when you see there, you're able to see the walls of Yerushalayim, which have been destroyed. So that's the point. You're chiyuv of kriya on Yerushalayim. And then it says, when you then see the mikdash, you have to tear again. That each kriya has to be a tefach long. If you come from the east, where you see the mikdash with its destruction before you see the city, so if you saw the destruction of the mikdash first, so the availus that arouses and the kriya that arouses is so significant that when you're not on a whole another tefa on the churban Yerushalayim, you just add a mashu. Because the kriya on the destruction of the mikdash includes in it the pain of the fact that we lost anything less than that. We lost even this. So kabbal chomer, we've lost things which are less than that. Let's at least hopper on some of the Rishon over here. Haray Yerushalayim Yesh Hakosu Mistaber Shayoyim Shabriya Adam Tila Yerushalayim B'Chabana Yesar Shayoyim Kulay B'Botzer B'Yayin. It makes sense the first day that you see this Seder's destruction of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, a person should not eat meat or drink wine on that day. Today, where the person's in a semi-state of Avelus, of mourning, sadness, wine and meat are not appropriate for that situation.
Wine and meat. The first day that you see your slain.
And it's korban, yeah. Now, I'm not sure if this means every time you see it when you come back, or means the first time in your life you've ever seen it. That first time, the impact on you should be such that you shouldn't be eating meat and drinking wine afterwards. It only means the first time is the first time.
First time you knew such concept.
First time you see it.
First time stopped.
Right. It's not every time you go back after 30 days. It's the first time you see it. Besamikdash, hey. Menichas atel mokam amikdash is chayv kurs. You should know this is really a side issue, but Mishra wanted to point it out. A person would go into the harabayas nowadays. He's chayv kurs. And kolonu tamei mesim were tomeim. And tomeim are not permitted to go into harabayas. And the kedusha which is there was put on in such a way that it doesn't fall off when the mikdash is destroyed. So that original kedusha is still there, and so it's b'kedusha, b'kedusha also. There's an issur, the person who's telling me to go inside, and the person does, whose tummy goes into the makom mikdash, it's chayv meat, chayv kores. Rabbi Lakutei Halachos, Zvachim Perik Hashoychin Amala, Mashkasav Lusham Inyinze. He sends you to the Sefer Likutei Halachos. Likutei Halachos was actually written by the Chabad Chaim, And Kulukutei Halachas is he basically creates a sefer which will be parallel to what the Rif did on the Masechta that the Rif wrote on. So the Masechta which the Rif did not write on, Kachim, etc., he tries to create a similar type of idea that he picks out the relevant Gemaras, and he wrote a Pirish on the side. So that's called the Kutei Halachas, a three-volume sefer from the Chafetz Chaim, very, very important sefer, not as well-known as some of his other sefer. That's what he stresses over there, this idea that a person goes in the Mokhtar Mikdash nowadays is Chayiv Kodesh. So a person should not go in. Okay, that's all there here.